Radio Harmony Cornuai. Join me, Clark 80, every Wednesday at 10:15 a.m. or at 18:15 on Saturdays to hear interesting interviews with some fascinating people. And remember, things always go better with a little harmony in your life. It's time for Lamité de Clark on Radio Harmony Cornuai 88.8 with your host, Clark 80. Stay tuned for the second part of my interview with Laureen Cook, advisor to the World Bank, and now CEO of her own firm, Extelcon.
C'est l'heure de l'invité de Clark sur Radio Harmonie Cornouaille 88.8 avec votre animateur, Clark Eddy. Restez à l'écoute pour la deuxième partie de son interview avec Laureen Cook, ancienne conseillère de la Banque mondiale et aujourd'hui PDG de sa propre entreprise, Extelcon.
L'invité de Clark, with your host Clark 80. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.
Welcome back, everyone. I have again for our part two of our very interesting interview, Laureen Cook, who's based in North Bethesda in the United States. And we're going to continue our conversation about particularly Africa, but also many of the technological changes that we see around the world. Laureen, thanks for coming back and giving us some more of your time.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate your interest. Yeah.
You know, we just talked about Democratic Republic of the Congo when we closed our last broadcast, and you brought up kind of an interesting thing, and we didn't get it covered yet on that broadcast, but the idea of fiber optic in a place like the Congo. It's a landlocked country, as you said, and am I wrong, or is there more than one Congo? I think I read there's...
There's Congo B as well, Congo Brazzaville, which is the other side of the river. Okay. Yes, there are two Congos, yes.
How are you ever going to get fiber optic to a place within the middle of Africa like that? What's the challenge there?
Well, many of the challenges are geographic, quite frankly. They're geographic and regulatory, right? So on the rudimentary basis, you can't change the geography. But the changing and negotiating with the regulatory bodies that be has always been a challenge, not only in DRC, but throughout Africa, Asia, the entire developing world and the developed world. Regulatory rules sometimes are so strict and conflicting that a project that, let's should say, takes 6 months ends up taking a year because of the bureaucracy involved in getting things like right-of-way, site approvals, licensing, and so forth.
So it's kind of a rule of law issue, you might say. The cultural bias towards permissions and that sort of thing, and what we call, I guess, Western sort of business law.
Well, Western business law, even in the West, the issues are the same. Sometimes they're exaggerated a bit more in certain geographies, but the issues are the same. Getting the clearance, getting the right of way, getting the paperwork, and cutting to the chase on that, all of that has always been a challenge. I have to say that in the DRC, in Uganda, other countries in Africa, they're recognizing this, and the ministries are stepping up to the plate, and they're actually trying to work with the private sector to streamline the process so that fiber optic can be rolled out. Without fiber, there will be no 5G. Yeah. So 4G and 5G require fiber optics on the terrestrial portion of the backhaul of that call. So without laying the fiber, you're never going to get true 4 and 5G in a particular country. And these countries recognize, I would say, not only in Africa, but certainly Asia, Indonesia, all these countries recognize that their prosperity in the future depends on communications of data, even more so than voice today, right? Yeah. So ministries are opening up and are working with the private sector now more than ever before, so that right of ways can be done very quickly, co-location of sites, Physical protection of sites is very important in some of the more rural areas outside of the cities, the main cities. And that's in any country anywhere in the world, but in particularly in the tier two and tier three countries around the world, it's more of a challenge, right? So you lay fiber, someone may think you're laying copper, and cut it and dig it up.
Yeah.
Well, you've just lost $30,000 per kilometer, right? And all of the revenue from the data that's riding over that particular piece of fiber. So,
well, you know, we're on one of the few broadcasts in France that speak English, and I'm thinking that maybe that would be your lingua franca when you're in Africa.
DRC is formerly a Belgian territory. So French is prevalent and most documentation is in French, but because of the development of the country and the sources of funds that are flowing in, most business people now speak French and English.
You brought up a kind of interesting point. You know, you talk about 5G, and there was a lot of discussion of 5G before it got rolled out. What was the hitch there? What was the issue? People thought it was a different kind of wavelength or something that was going to interfere with their everyday life. I'd like to talk to an expert about that, because we heard a lot about it in France.
And without going to a huge technical overview of it, but the higher the spectrum, the more narrow the radius of the RF coverage from a particular cell site. So you're talking about higher frequencies now. You need many more smaller cells at a lower altitude to cover the same geographic area, so that you have you trade geographic coverage for speed and latency. And the lower the latency, the more data that you can pump through that particular cell. So yes, you need more cells. Over the years, there's always been this push-pull about radio frequencies and what they may or may not do to you. I think it's been proven time and time again that, you know, all the mitigants have been put into place. It's a trade-off in life. We do need to communicate both for health and basic safety in some countries, and in other countries, because that's where your stock exchange is being run through a wireless network. That does happen in certain parts of the world. Not all countries have the privilege that we have in the West of having excellent terrestrial fiber and multiple redundancy of fiber, which is very important, because when you build out a network, initially you string it from point A to point B, but you really need to develop a ring so that to point C, so that there are alternative paths of getting from one end to the other should there be a fiber cut. And oftentimes that does happen. The most sound means of transporting data is via fiber. However, it's also, depending on the country that you're dealing with, subject to being cut, either accidentally or on purpose, if vandalism is a large thing in that country. And you have to have alternative routing. So you can't just string a piece of cable from point A to point B. Yes, initially. But as you develop your network, you need to develop it with a ring formation.
You are listening to the recording of my interview with Lorene Cook, a pioneer in the telecom industry and advisor to the World Bank.
Is satellite ever part of that? Is that something that we'll see more and more of?
Well, I am a big fan of satellite. I've had the good fortune to work on a few different satellite deals, and I'm very excited about low Earth orbiting satellite. The cost of these satellites have come down over time. We look at things like OneWeb and O3b, and we've got Starlink, and we've got Blue Origin that's about to launch their network as well, called Kuiper. So having this availability and having the prices come down in terms of the price of space, basically, and the number of satellites you need to cover Earth, And the increase in technology, because the latency, again, it's not only can I communicate from point A to point B, but how quickly can I
How quickly?
communicate that data, making sure that I'm not losing any packets along the way.
Is
So
satellite slower? Would a satellite be slower than anything else, or how's that
typically
technology?
satellite is slower, right? So if you're a geostationary, that would be great for broadcasting, but it wouldn't be good for, let's say, supporting data for the stock market, which is real
Course,
time.
yeah.
Right?
That's
You would
rapid,
want
yeah.
to be in a LEO orbiting position for something like that. LEO, as I said, because satellites are now being manufactured in mass quantities and being shot up into space, we see what's happening with SpaceX. We've seen what's happened with OneWeb, and hopefully Blue Origin will do the same with Kuiper. Being able to cover the world, being that close to the Earth's surface, the latency is reduced. It is capable of supporting LEO satellites are now capable of supporting backhaul for 4 and 5G. Is it a little more expensive? Absolutely. Is it because of atmospheric conditions? Maybe not quite as good as fiber right now.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than touching and feeling fiber on the ground. It's the best way to haul traffic on the back end.
Now, Leo,
However,
you're talking about low Earth orbit, right? Leo?
LEO, low Earth
Yeah. Okay.
orbiting satellites, which is where Starlink is and Kuiper will be and OneWeb is. So we will have three international satellite networks that are capable of providing the backhaul right now for mobile operators. And additionally, on a B2B basis, they'll be able to communicate down to Earth on if you have a ground station, if you have a ground antenna at your particular business or company or home, you would be able to do B2B directly with some of these
Is
networks.
there any concern about security on those transmissions? Is there a way to
There's
secure that?
always security. There's always security issues anywhere in the world, including the United States, when it comes to the ground portion. Especially when your clients that are riding over that usually have data that is encrypted and is designed to go from point A to point B and not fall into nefarious hands.
Yeah.
So, yes, the ground stations, oftentimes we'll see that ground stations are designed to co-locate with data centers. Certainly the tier 3 plus and the tier 4 data centers. As we grow the amount of data that we're hauling over 5G and eventually 6G, data centers need to become clean and green and much bigger and more robust than they currently are to house all of that data. The communications of the way that the state is backhauled will be both, again, for redundancy purposes, will be via fiber and via satellite. So the concept of having the satellite landing stations co-located at the data center is nothing new, but becomes more important as we look to for growing from 5G to 6G on a global basis.
That brings up an interesting question about power generation in a place like the DRC. How does that work? How do they generate their power? And you need a lot for that, right?
Well, the World Bank has assisted in helping develop power generation within not only the DRC, but Africa, and like I said, tier 2 and tier 3 countries around the world. Power generation is always an issue, and the ability to access power in rural and remote areas is problematic. So, alternative solutions within the industry are being deployed there. You've got diesel generators, which is the natural default even in the cities, because as I said, power gets cut, fiber gets cut. These things happen accidentally and/or on purpose sometimes. Happens in the Western world as well.
Sure.
So, therefore, it's very important that you have a diesel generator. When you're talking about suburban and rural, really rural areas, we're looking at things like solar fields to help
Sure.
store so, and keep the generators going as
Yeah.
well. So, yeah, so there's solar, there's wind, all of these climate-friendly alternatives have been embraced by the industry, by the TMT industry, and are being deployed in, depending on the geography and the costs in any given country, they're being deployed primarily in rural and suburban areas.
You know, it's a rapidly changing industry, I'm sure. And are we just at the beginning?
I would say yes, because with the advent of AI and its implications for 5G and then eventually 6G and whatever comes after that, the sky is the limit. I mean, AI will now change the way that we interact with our mobile devices and our computers, right? The amount of data that we will be able to access precisely in a very short period of time due to the advent of AI is amazing. Actually, one of the things that I'd like to continue working with is the work with the industry to try to set the ground rules so that AI is deployed in such a manner that it becomes illegal to use for nefarious reasons.
Wouldn't that be
and
good?
That's a whole different topic of conversation, absolutely needs to be guarded very carefully as we approach, I would say, what would be the probably fifth or sixth industrial revolution due to AI.
My son wants to write all his papers in AI, so.
Well, I'm...
Not that I want him to do it, but yes, I think it's very popular among the students, so.
Yes, well, I'm sure it is.
On that note, we're going to have to probably wrap up again, but I have to ask you, when you were younger, what did you want to be when you grew up? Because this is amazing.
Oh, that's funny. I wanted to be an oceanographer because I love the sea. And I thought that, you know, swimming with the fish would be great until I realized that you have to take a biology class and dissect some of these fish. And then I decided a business degree was much, much more civilized.
It certainly is. Well, this is great. I certainly appreciate your time, Lorene Cook, who's been giving us an update on everything technological relating to telecom and some other things. And it's been a learning experience for me and a very pleasant experience, too. So I want to thank you again for coming on board. And I hope that things continue to go well and that they don't that they find exactly how important you are in this field, because your experience is super. And I'm glad that you're back in it.
You're so kind. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time and your interest. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
That's it for this edition of Lamutate O'Clock on Radio Harmony 88.8 with your host, Clark Ady. Thank you for joining me and my special guest, Lorene Cook, today. Tune in each Wednesday at 10:15 or listen to the rebroadcast of this week's show the following Saturday at 18:15. You can also listen to Lamutate O'Clock wherever you are. Just visit www.radio-harmony.com to listen directly. Or you can also find all of our interviews under the podcast tab on the website. Next week, join me for another two-part interview with my special guest, Lillian Doherty, classicist and professor emerita at the University of Maryland. Take care, and remember, things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
La semaine prochaine, rejoignez Clark pour une autre interview en deux parties avec son invité spécial, Lillian Doherty, professeur émérite en langue et littérature grecque et latine à l'Université du Maryland aux États-Unis. Prenez soin de vous et n'oubliez pas que les choses vont toujours mieux avec un peu d'harmonie dans votre vie. À bientôt!
L'invité de Clark, with your host Clark Ady. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.